welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we are doing on Wednesday afternoon. We had a little bit of NBA news today. Joining us from Dallas, he was the Houston Rockets beat writer, or, you know, one of the teams he covered. Will he continue to cover the Rockets after today? Is Timothy Band McMahon.
I don't bail when times get tough. Howdy, partners.
Joining us from Oakland, California is Mark Spears from The Undefeated. Hello, Mark.
I remember when Steven Jackson and Nick Van Exel asked for a trade.
That was back in the fun days of asking.
Yeah.
For a trade. Hey, if Harden, all Harden had to do was make a couple of comments in a press conference to get traded, he probably was like, maybe I should have done this maybe a month ago.
I think he put in a pretty good effort a month ago when he was partying in Atlanta and Vegas while training camp was starting. I think he ran.
But it didn't work.
It ain't like they suddenly started talks after last night. This thing has been in motion for a while, obviously.
But you don't think it pushed it into the end zone, though?
Maybe it got it over. Maybe it got the Rockets to the point of saying, okay, let's take the best offer that's on the table at this point. Listen, the Rockets didn't get exactly what they wanted, okay? They didn't. There's not a young franchise cornerstone heading to Houston. Victor Oladipo has been that sort of player. Obviously, he's coming off of some major injuries, which he'll fit right in with the Rockets, with Boogie Cousins and John Wall, the former All-Stars with major injuries. But the young franchise cornerstone the Rockets did not get. Now, the package of picks, woo!
Let's go over real quick. I mean, people probably know if they listen to this podcast, but so Brooklyn goes all in here, sends three of their draft picks, 22, 24, 26, unprotected. Am I correct?
Everything's unprotected. Everything's unprotected.
Then pick swaps in 21, 23, and 25.
I passed up a really inappropriate, let's just go on, move. Sorry.
21, 23, 25, 27, four pick swaps, unprotected. And then as a part of the other branch of the deal with Cleveland, Cleveland sent a Bucks 2022 first-round pick to Houston. So Houston gets four first-round picks, all unprotected. Even that Bucks pick is unprotected, by the way, should something crazy happen. Four unprotected pick swaps. Jared Allen and Torian Prince end up in Cleveland. Rhody Kurux, he ends up in Houston? Or where does he end up?
Houston. Oh, yeah. No, he's in Houston.
Okay. Caris LeVert goes to Houston. Houston makes a separate trade to bring in Victor Oladipo, which I found fascinating. We'll talk about in a little bit. This is a gigantic haul. It's probably the biggest draft pick trade ever made, depending on how you value the pick swaps. In the Paul George trade, there was five first-round picks in that deal, and I believe two pick swaps. But that's hard to compare that deal to this one because that really included Kawhi Leonard. I know it technically didn't, but it was.
Right.
And, you know, in this deal, you know, Kyrie and Durant were already there.
Kyrie's on the roster. He ain't there.
He's on the roster and under contract. We'll talk about that in a little bit too. McMahon, before we really break it down, here's what I really want to know. I want to know how, and you probably don't have the answer. Mm-hmm. How close do you think they were to a deal with Philly? Because
that's where they could have gotten the young franchise cornerstone. Ben Simmons was absolutely on the table.
Yes. I can add something here. Mm-hmm. In speaking to individuals with knowledge, Ben Simmons was prepared to be traded today. I don't know if I can say expected to be traded, but was prepared to be traded, was ready to be traded. They never told him he was going to be traded.
Right, but they've obviously got some making up. You know, they've got a situation to handle there.
But the reason I want to know what you think is because of the Rockets' history with Daryl Morey here, I just wonder how much of an impediment that was. There obviously had to be a point where Philly knew that this was it. We were either going to do this deal or not. I have to assume that Raphael Stone, the Rockets general manager, gave Daryl a final chance. Daryl, we are doing this deal with Brooklyn if you don't do this deal. I don't know this for a fact, but it had to have been somewhere in here, unless they cold-shouldered him, which I don't think that they would have. And Philly right. had, there was a moment today, and maybe it was, you know, a moment that was decided a while ago, but there was a moment today when Philadelphia had to decide, are we taking James Harden or not? And not for Ben Simmons. And my suspicion is that they just passed and allowed the Brooklyn deal to happen. And because of the Daryl Morey quotient here and Tillman Fertitta and all this, that had to be a fascinating moment in time.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of dynamics at play there. I think part of the dynamic is it's based on what I know, it was not a unanimous, you know, there wasn't a consensus with the Sixers that giving up Ben Simmons to get James Harden was a wise move in the first place. And then obviously the Nets just overwhelmed the Rockets with draft consideration. But look, the Sixers, they could have thrown a bunch of swaps in there, and I don't know what exactly their pick situation is. They also could have thrown, my understanding is Thibault is on the table. I don't believe they were ever willing to put Tyrese Maxey on the table. But I think that your hunch, basically what you're saying is, if it was even, they were leaving Daryl Morey empty-handed. I think that's.
But how could it be? I mean, Spears, how could it be even? Ben, you know, I know there's all these draft picks, but I mean, what's the chance of any of those picks producing a guy like Ben Simmons, who's an All-NBA player and under contract and 22 years old or whatever?
Well, I mean, if we think back to that Nets Boston trade, Boston ended up getting some good picks out of that, but unlike that Nets team, I think this Nets team is going to be very successful. So.
Not when these picks are. I mean, these picks are going to extend way past KD, Harden, Kyrie prime. That's the most important part of this deal. Is just like the most important part of the OKC deal for to send Russ to Houston. Yeah. The picks were going to extend way past.
Right. Well,
that window only lasts.
I don't mean to direct somebody to my piece, but a few weeks ago I wrote a piece about how NBA teams. More and more, we saw this with New Orleans as well, with the deal with Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I don't want to say shorting is the right word because it's years into the future, but they're wagering on. They're betting that Brooklyn is going to go into the tank in 2 or 3 years, and so the 21, 22, 23 picks may not be so good, but 24, 25, 26. That basically they're wagering on that. Say Oklahoma City did the same thing with the Rockets.
Right.
Basically wagering that the Rockets were not going to be good. Now the Rockets actually have their picks in 22 and 23. So they're in better shape. They didn't think they were going to go into the Sam Presti didn't forecast the Rockets going into the ditch this quickly. He was sort of seeing it in 24 with Westbrook and Harden.
But let me, I did want to interject this. Somebody close to Ben just texted me, said he's very happy that he didn't get traded. That he wants to be in Philly, that he's still has believes they could win a championship there. And I've also kind of got the word long before this that Doc is a really big fan of his.
That's when I say there wasn't a consensus. My understanding is Doc wanted to keep this thing as is and see what they've got.
Yeah.
Well, let me say this. Go ahead, Spears.
Well, no, I talked to Doc about a month ago specifically about Ben, and he just kind of, you know, with all due respect to the previous regime, didn't feel like they could get the best out of him. Felt that he could, that he didn't know he was this good, and that he was going to be more aggressive with him being in the paint and having the ball in his hands. And I could just tell he loved him. He just, like, raved about him. So. I don't want to speak for Doc, but my guess if he had a vote, he probably didn't want to do the deal.
Here's something else. Guys, Joel Embiid is playing the best basketball of his career. Now, I know we're talking about, I think he's played 8 or 9 games, so I don't want to sit here and say that, you know, but Joel had 45 last night. He's playing MVP level ball right now. The way that they are playing and spreading the floor and everything, it's working for him.
Right.
And you know, the feeling all along here was that the Sixers probably wanted to wait this out to see how things went for a while before deciding on this. And I just don't know if their timeline is correct. Like, I just don't know if they were ready to make their decision right now. But let me say this. There's a possibility that Bradley Beal could be available in 2 months. And if, you know, maybe Simmons could be available in that type of trade. Now, I just don't know. Bradley Beal is not there yet. But if Bradley Beal becomes available, maybe the situation changes. And, you know, we can debate whether or not you'd want Harden or Beal. I think Daryl Morey, you know, he loves James Harden. That's clear. But I just don't know if Philly was ready to do this, especially with Embiid playing so well and their team doing so well.
Yeah. It's funny. Another one of someone close to Ben said, we feel like we just got off a roller coaster. Just text me that.
Today,
hey, me too.
Yeah, right, man. You're right. I mean, today had to be wild, right? Because, you know, we all of a
today,
sudden.
The last few months.
Yeah. Right. But today it was like it was going to come down and he didn't know whether he was going or not. And now he knows he's staying.
Right. But to your point, Beal's 27 years old. Like Beal is just about to hit the middle of his prime. So, you know, and he's, I mean, my God, Beal's putting up crazy numbers. There's no, you know, there's, I'm not aware of any sort of baggage that comes along with him. You know, if Beal gets put on the market, it's going to be absolutely fascinating to see what kind of packages are put on the table for him.
We also didn't mention when I was doing the breakdown that Dante Exum, who's injured right now, goes to Houston from Cleveland.
Another expiring contract, just like Victor Oladipo.
Well, I will say this.
The Rockets' payroll next year is going to be $50 million and 40-something, and that'll be John Wall.
Well, I will say this, at this, you know, and look, you know, with Tillman Fertitta's current financial situation has been well detailed. And boy, when I've said this in the past, boy, have I gotten my knuckles wrapped.
They are sensitive about this perception.
Because, you know, they say that the Rockets organization is very profitable, blah, blah, blah. Tillman is fine, but
leading the league in attendance right now.
56, right?
3,000 actually.
Okay. But I just think going forward here, we should pay attention to their financial moves. This trade took them out of the luxury tax.
Yep.
And the Oladipo section of this, where they swap out LeVert for Oladipo, which we'll talk about in a minute. That's going to, now maybe they sign Oladipo long-term and they can put their finger in my eye, but that I'm not 100%. Right. I understand that. Maybe they just like Oladipo better and maybe they're, you know, they don't have control of their own pick this year, which we'll again talk about in a minute. But, you know, they did shave off a whole bunch of money, by swapping LeVert off for Oladipo. Maybe they'll extend him.
36 plus million over the next, you know, the two seasons beyond this one. And look, they didn't love LeVert. Okay. They don't see him as a potential franchise cornerstone. You can make the argument that Oladipo has at least played at that level, you know, obviously pre-injury, but I agree with you. I look at the contracts and say that's why that swap made sense for the Rockets.
You don't think 18 is a great number for him?
I think so.
But for so let me ask you this. What is Caris LeVert at $18 million going to do for the Rockets next season? What would he have done? Got him to 37 wins? You know?
I mean,
he's an asset that doesn't expire.
Well, Oladipo can be an asset before this deadline as an expiring.
Okay. We'll see. I mean, you know.
And he's healthy.
Yeah, he's here's what I'd say. I guess we're going to talk about Oladipo now. Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve your off-court problems. Whether it's trouble at home or a workplace dilemma, the coaches will help you find a winning formula for success. And you'll hear from prominent athletes, business leaders, and celebrities who reveal insights that made them into the leaders they are today. Like President Obama, who breaks down his bracket and talks about how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism. Listen to Ways to Win wherever you get your podcasts. Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. First off, I thought the Cavs and Pacers made out nicely in this.
Yep.
The Cavs get, they use a 2022 Milwaukee pick, which, you know, as long as Giannis and Drew Holiday does, if Drew Holiday doesn't leave and Giannis is healthy, is probably a bottom five pick. They get Jared Allen, who I suspect they will sign to a long-term extension in the offseason and will become their franchise center going forward. Mm-hmm. I don't think Andre Drummond will be around long. I don't think JaVale McGee might not end the week as a Cav. I think they might move him. So this would indicate that Andre Drummond is probably not going to be there long-term. They take on Torian Prince, which is $12 or $13 million for next year, but that's
I mean, he's a rotation player, whatever.
Yeah.
Indiana, you know, I think they had a problem with what to do with Victor because I think he really wanted to get paid. And I don't, you know, what I'd say about Victor is I think he has, if you watched him this year, he has played much better. He has become than he was last year coming back from the injury. His defense has improved. He's been a difference-making player on defense. Offensively, he has not been the same threat. There's been a couple of nights where he's done okay, and I suspect in Houston in a different type of system, you know, he can have moments. But he basically is not the all-star. But you know, if you look at Victor Oladipo's career, he's had a bunch of really good years and one all-star year where he was awesome, and then he hurt his knee, and so I think he's sort of back to the player that he was before, which is a very good player, but not an all-star. And, you know, if he wants to be paid like an all-star, that was going to be a problem for Indiana. And now Indiana gets Caris LeVert, who they know makes $16 million this year, $17.5 and $18.8, who will give them probably similar level numbers. You hope that he stays healthy. So Indiana, I think, did well here, sort of getting, you know, getting off of what was going to potentially be a Victor Oladipo problem.
And I love it for Indiana. I got to see Indiana play last night. I had a nice win against the Warriors, and Sabonis is playing great, and Turner is playing great. Victor didn't play. Was it for injury? Was it because of this? We'll never know. But I think that LeVert could take off to, you know, all-star status with this team. It's a good move because it's a small market team who probably will have a hard time getting free agents to come. They got to get homegrown talent. So, you know, or you trade for somebody that you could have for a long time. And the one thing about LeVert is he's a relatively young guy. I like that number. 18 for him is really good. Exciting young player. Gosh, help me out, guys. My man that just got hurt for them. Sheesh.
Oh, TJ Warren.
TJ Warren. You know, once Warren gets back, you know, I know nobody's talking about him. Indiana's really good. they're going to be – I think they very much improved and now suddenly are one of the teams to pay attention to in the Eastern Conference.
And I really like this for Cleveland. Didn't give up much, and got back a guy who can be part of their foundation for a long time and fits really well with the foundation, the young foundation pieces that they have in place. Colin Sexton and Darius Garland have quietly, you know, made some really encouraging strides there. And obviously, if you're going to play a small, you know, scoring-minded backcourt, like those two guys are, you know, they hope they can develop into a Blazers-esque type of backcourt combo. You want a big, athletic, rim-protecting rebound and center, and Jared Allen definitely has the potential to be one hell of that type of big man.
Didn't get treated very well in Brooklyn. I really like his game. I'm not here to tell you he's going to be an all-star. I thought it was a quality move for the Cavs. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. The Cavs have like 40, 50 million in cap space for next year. They have to use it on somebody, and there's no free agent market, and free agents aren't coming to Cleveland. So you sign Jared Allen, and if you have Torian Prince on there, you do it. All right, that's enough about those guys. I want to talk about the Nets. To me, this move was not about Kyrie Irving at all. This move was about Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know what's going on with Kyrie, how much that affects it. But one thing I need to point out here, Durant, Kyrie, and Harden all can opt out after next season. And the most relevant of those is not opt out, or I think they may be an opt-in or whatever it is, but they can all be free agents in the summer of 2022. Durant is the most relevant one there because that's the guy you got to worry about. That's the guy you need to keep happy. And like, I can't predict the future with Kyrie. I have no idea what's going to happen. For all I know, he would have come back and been terrific in the playoffs without Harden, and they would get to the conference finals and be just as potent. But by doing this deal, you send the message to Durant, and basically you're wagering, and you've given away so many draft picks that you have to keep Durant. You have to get him extended. You have to get him to re-sign. Not unlike what you did with Kawhi. You know, Kawhi signed short. You know, Paul George is signed short. You've got to give up those picks for him, but then you've got to get those guys extended. And so Clippers got Paul George extended. We'll see on Kawhi. And so to me, getting James Harden, who has a longstanding relationship with Durant from when they played at Oklahoma City, and using all of these assets is an effort in the shaky situation with Kyrie to keep Durant long-term. Spears, what do you think about that?
What scares me about their team now is from a rebounding, defensive, shot blocking standpoint. I mean, they're going to be able to score with the best of them, and they're going to have to be able to score with the best of them. I just don't know how they're really going to stop anybody defensively. You know, Jared Allen was 22% of their rebounds and 27% of their blocks. But, I mean, one thing that I think has to happen is, which, you know, I covered the big three with the Celtics, and when they came in, the one thing they did was put their egos aside, realize they wanted a championship together, didn't care about who scored what, you know, and I think you bring a Kevin Garnett in and talk to him about how they made it work, or a Ray Allen in or something like that.
Just don't bring him in together.
No, that doesn't happen. Can they do that? I know Durant can't, and I know Kyrie pretty good, not as well as you know him, Brian, but like, how
I don't know if anybody knows Kyrie, man.
I know him all right. I just wonder how they coexist with one ball.
And you mentioned the OKC tie. Obviously, Durant and Harden have played together. Yeah. Whoop-de-damn-doo.
Yeah, whoop-de-doo. One came off the bench, you know.
Well, also, yeah, Harden and Russ played together. Hey, childhood friends. And they both wanted to get the hell out of Dodge after last year. So clearly, you know, the good old Thunder days, it doesn't matter. Well, James Harden was a sixth man.
I'm going to interrupt you to this point because I know you can give some great insight on this. Your old Houston coach is there. Is he the one that figures this out offensively? You can't put that on Steve Nash.
Well, what was
his attraction to James wanting to go there too?
Yeah, the players have to figure it out offensively. You know, they wanted this to happen. It's on them to figure out. And again, the wild card is whether Kyrie's going to, when is he going to be a part of this? Will he be a part of this? Or like, I don't know who knows the answer to that. I don't know if Kyrie knows the answer.
Guys, Kyrie has been sending messages to people in many ways that basketball is not always going to be his priority.
Mm-hmm.
He has said as much. Now, whether he feels that way on Wednesday and then feels a different way on Friday and feels a different way next Tuesday, that's a different scenario. But I don't know what Kyrie's going to be. I think he's a complete and total wild card.
Yep.
And I think that'll be the case for the rest of his career.
Right. And look, the storylines that dominated this week, obviously, were James Harden's unhappiness coming to a head. And then Kyrie's, I don't know what you even will call it, sabbatical, whatever you want to call it. The Harden thing, you can, like Boogie Cousins did today, you can blast the disrespect, the antics, whatever words you want to use, just like DeMarcus did. There was no question about the intent. You understood exactly what James Harden wanted. He was not happy in Houston. He wanted to get the hell out. And so he did what he did, and he got his way. I don't know what Kyrie wants, because he is where he wanted to be, playing with the co-star he wanted to play with. So he's not trying to force his way to another team. So his intent is a mystery.
This is such a curious team, man.
Yeah, I've really never seen a team like this. I think the sort of the natural thing to say is, well, how do they share the ball?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, like they're gonna score 130 points. I mean, they're right. Gonna try to win games 133-127, and they're gonna win games like that.
And win a lot of them in the regular season, for sure.
Yeah, and defensively, what's going to happen in a playoff setting, teams are going to attack Harden, and they're going to attack Kyrie. And, I don't know who their center is going to be, but if they're going to try to put DeAndre out there, they're going to attack him.
It might be KD.
Yeah, it might be. It might be Jeff Green. Right now, their backup center is Jeff Green. I assume they'll make a move to get another center. And they're going to attack them, and that's what happens in the playoffs. Teams create matchups and whatever. And, they've given themselves a margin for error offensively that I don't know if we've ever seen before, or few have seen it. But history tells us that teams that are all offensive-based, which, interestingly, Steve Nash and Mike D'Antoni were a classic example of in Phoenix, although they absolutely got unfortunate hands dealt to them with the suspensions that one time and then the Joe Johnson injury and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they had some things happen to them that were unfortunate, but Phoenix never won because they were one of the greatest offenses we've ever seen, but they could not defend when it mattered. And so it's interesting that we have D'Antoni and Nash now coaching maybe one of the greatest offensive firepower teams I've ever seen. And they were going to test this again. And I think it's going to be fascinating to watch. I'm surprised that, on one hand, I'm surprised that Brooklyn was willing at this point to give up all of these draft assets because, they hadn't even seen what a Kyrie Durant with all because the team had pretty good depth, even after Dinwiddie got hurt. I was surprised they wouldn't let it sort of run its course 1 year to see how it worked, that they 12 games in went for this, even with the Kyrie situation. Even with that sort of funkiness out there, it's surface level analysis to say, boy, this could really come back to haunt them. Well, no kidding. They know that. They know that in 2024, if Kyrie has decided he's going to do other things and retired and Harden goes elsewhere and whatever, they know that they could potentially be in huge trouble here. They are wagering that, that this year, 2021 and 2022, that they have a chance to win the championship, which that is the kind of trade that I thought would be made for Harden, a team going all in. The question is there percentage chance of winning truly higher today than it was yesterday?
I think it's higher, yes. I think that they've got some work to do to fill the massive hole at center. you know, having said that, like if there's quality centers that are that get bought out, I think the Nets are clearly going to be the number one team on the list.
But how long are they going to use that center? Like, you know what I mean? Like that, I just see them basically.
Let's just be honest, though, Spears. Yeah. They got to prepare for a series with the Sixers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So somebody has got to deal with Embiid. And
y'all have any faith in DeAndre?
McMahon, you want to?
No, is a short answer.
Why not?
No is a short answer.
So if that's all he has to do is just guard him,
No. Absolutely not. I have faith he can grab a bunch of empty rebounds, but no. Other than that, no faith. I have faith that he's a very good friend to Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and got a nice contract. I mean,
wasn't he an all-star that long ago, right?
Yeah, well, it was a few teams ago, not coincidentally. Yeah.
I mean, they just demoted him to the bench, which
he was DMPCD last night, wasn't he?
Right. They, you know, I mean, yeah, Durant and Kyrie run this organization, guys. Yeah. I mean, you know,
well, shocker.
They got Kenny Atkinson fired, you know, whether or not that was a move that needed to be made, it doesn't really matter. They got him fired. They control who comes in and out of the lineup.
And they told us that on that Instagram Live,
they
right?
They did. And I mean, like, I appreciate that Nash, you know, has to go out in front of the media and give some answer. But I mean,
yeah,
he looks like he's in a straitjacket giving these answers. He looks like he's in a hostage video.
And Spears, you asked, do you have any faith in DeAndre Jordan to guard an all-NBA center? They played Nikola Jokic last night, and DeAndre Jordan was a DNPCD. There's your answer. It ain't whether I've got faith. He was a DNPCD against an all-NBA big man last night. You think they want him guarding Embiid for seven games?
You know, maybe they were trying to include him in a trade and had to hold him out.
Okay. Let me check Caris LeVert's stats from last night. Okay, let's
see. Yeah, that's a good point, man.
Yeah, let me.
But they're not gonna have a choice. I'll be like,
they're gonna try to create.
Maybe
a
they get JaVale, Caris LeVert, right?
20 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, and 26 minutes off the bench. So yeah, that wasn't it. Jared Allen played 36 minutes last night. Plus 18, by the way, in those 36 minutes guarding Nikola Jokic. So yeah, that didn't pass.
I mean, right. I'm now actually, I want to see Philly Brooklyn in the playoffs. I want to see how it goes because this is so much of what they're, you know, this was the two of them had this option. Like, you know, one of them was going to get Harden. The other thing is, McMahon, what do you think about Harden's ability to play himself into shape? He obviously hasn't cared the last 5 games. He's like not getting to the line. He's obviously better than he's shown.
I do not doubt James Harden's ability to be one of the most dominant offensive players in the NBA one bit. Out of shape or not, the guy had 44 points and 17 assists in the season opener in Portland. Okay? James Harden's like could he drop a few pounds? Obviously. But his level of F's given will increase dramatically. And that was the biggest problem these last 5. That's the thing, you know, Harden kind of saying we're just not good enough. Dude, you're right. The Rockets probably aren't going to be a contender. But the reason the Rockets have sucked so bad is because the guy who's supposed to be a perennial MVP candidate has been hot garbage the last 5 games. And I'm just telling you this, I run back harder in transition defense and old fart pickup games than James Harden has this season for the Rockets. Will that change in Brooklyn? I think he will at least break a sweat jogging back on defense. Yes. I think he will get back to at least trying to attack the basket. It was pretty clear these last 5 games. He decided, I'll go through the motions, but you know what? I sprained an ankle. I ain't going to put my body on the line. Like, screw this. And, you know, he mailed it in and got his way and got to Brooklyn. But he's still... Harden will put up 30-plus points per game efficiently for the Nets. I have no doubt about that.
Who do you guys think is better to bring to have the ball in their hands more of those three? Like, who benefits the three of them the best? Like, is Harden?
Well, when? I think Kevin Durant is the best player of the three.
I think
Harden is the Harden is probably the guy who's best suited to have the ball in his hands the most of the time. He's definitely the most durable. I think he's the guy who's best suited to carry more of the load, but he's also the distant third best closer of the three.
Yeah. Is he the best passer of the three when he wants
yeah.
to?
Yeah. No. That, yeah. Harden's the best
that,
passer.
Because I do think he's underrated in that. That world when he wants to pass, he's pretty good at it. He could rattle up some.
He's an elite. I mean, the guy's got an assist title. He's an elite passer.
That's where I think he could be. I'd rather see him bring the ball up than Kyrie. But boy,
listen, you're assuming Kyrie's not going to be on Zoom calls.
You know, earlier today before this went down. I had a conversation with four or five people on Teams. And of course, Kyrie was a huge topic of conversation in the league today. And, I asked, what do you guys think the trade market is for Kyrie Irving right now? Like, let's say something happened and they had to trade him. And the answers that I got were wild, yeah. Wild. I got everything from general managers and assistant general managers. I got everything from I think you could still get two firsts for him to you could attach him as filler. Like I got that level of thing. And so
do you believe that's on the table now?
No, but it's January and the trade deadline's at the end of March.
Well, listen, I know that the Rockets wanted nothing to do with the Kyrie. Kyrie coming back in this deal, and I get it. Basically, their point was okay. So we're going to trade one really unhappy superstar for an even unhappier star who's not as good. So I mean, if Kyrie gets traded somewhere where he doesn't want to be, I don't know that he'd even report. I mean, he wanted to.
He's
be
not reporting right.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean.
And look, he's made a lot of money in his career. He might just say, you know what, I'm good.
Are you guys convinced they're the best team in the East now?
No.
No. I mean, I think they're absolutely a contender. I could in the snap judgment, guys, I'm having difficulty determining how much better they are today than yesterday. And I also recognize that they have now gassed their ability to really improve this roster.
Yeah.
Dinwiddie cannot, I mean, he's gone. He's expiring. Joe Harris is on a big contract. If you traded for him, they would be you'd be a loss. They don't have assets to trade. So their ability, this is what I said after the Lakers made the Anthony Davis trade. The Lakers' ability to improve their roster after the Anthony Davis trade was very limited. But they had cap space and they had Anthony Davis and LeBron, who turned out to be devastating together. Okay. And ended up working. So my thing here is if this doesn't work, they are very restricted in how they can get better. They cannot trade a pick. They cannot trade one. Mm-hmm. I mean, second round picks, but they can't improve there. And then you look at, their best assets on their roster to trade were Dinwiddie, no longer available, LeVert, and Jared Allen, that's all gone. They don't have any. I mean, they don't have anybody they can materially move. So this team has got to work, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, as I sit here in the moment, in the day of the trade, I don't know whether they are vastly better than they were yesterday, but they need to be vastly better because they are not. They were, in my view, they were not a championship team yesterday. So we'll see. Now I remember, and I think I talked to McMahon on this podcast about it. When they did the Chris Paul trade in Houston, I didn't see how that was really going to benefit the Rockets. And D'Antoni put it together, and those dudes were awesome together. They probably could have won a championship. And I remember talking to D'Antoni about it at the end of the first year together. And D'Antoni was like, listen, you guys look at things a certain way. You don't quite understand the full sphere, blah, blah, blah. Like, he's like, you guys let me do my work. So I will yield and say, let's let D'Antoni do his work and see how it can do it. And maybe what he crafts over the next few months does produce something that's materially better. And I'm sitting here in March and I'm saying, oh boy, yeah, what an incredible trade. Look at these guys. They're averaging 135 a night. They're shooting 49% as a team and they're trading off, blah, blah, blah. But I'm skeptical about
that. To your point though, that Rockets team, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but they were a very, very good defensive team. They had, Bezdelic with his switch everything scheme really worked that year. Capella protecting the rim. They had Ariza. They had obviously PJ Tucker, Luke Mbamute. That was his last really good year.
Ariza on this team after he gets bought out.
Yeah. Well, I hear that he ain't getting bought out, but we'll see how that. We'll see what ends up happening. But they had a lot of really good role players who fit that. So they weren't just a team that lit it up offensively. They were also a very good defensive team. And I don't know how the Nets become a very good defensive team.
You guys like Deadman at all? And he's out there.
I think, any buyout. Any buyout guy that comes to market, if it's not going to be the Lakers, it's going to be the Nets.
Yeah.
Right. It's going to be one of those two. So they will be able probably to add a player or two.
Hey, maybe Andre Drummond.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen with Andre Drummond.
He's at least got to be considered a buyout candidate because why give Drummond minutes when you got Jared Allen?
Probably because, you got to be careful if you're still trying to get a contract, giving away your bird rights. There's enough salary cap space out there for next season that I don't know. That's a topic for three months from now. But one other thing I want to ask, McMahon, the Rockets do not control their pick this year. Their pick is swappable with the Thunder. But the Thunder can, as a part of this funky trade that they made, the Thunder can swap the pick that they have from the Miami Heat with the Rockets pick, top four protected. So the Miami Heat, wherever they end up, they're going to probably be an Eastern Conference playoff team. Pick is probably going to be in the late teens, early 20s. The Rockets, they can swap that down to the Rockets pick. The Rockets are not incentivized to tank. They're incentivized to keep winning. What do you think the Rockets are now with John Wall, Victor Oladipo, Christian Wood, Eric Gordon going forward?
PJ Tucker.
PJ Tucker, is he going to be available?
I don't anticipate PJ Tucker finishing the season in Houston. I'll put it to you like that.
Can I ask you something real quick, McMahon? Mm-hmm. How come PJ Tucker has just stopped shooting altogether? He's shooting like one shot a game. This is a guy who led the league in corner three-point shots a year ago. I mean, he was putting up a lot.
Yeah.
He has stopped shooting.
You know what? I don't have a great answer for you. I would say that not that this affects that particular question, but I don't believe that PJ's motivation level is at its normal, at what it usually is. He wanted an extension. It didn't happen. It makes zero sense for it to happen at this point for the Rockets.
Oh, that's not happening.
I mean, he'll be traded at some point this season. And I do think that, there will be several good teams who will want PJ Tucker. We'll see. Obviously the Rockets are kind of in pick, stocking up pick mode, and we'll see if they can get a pick for PJ.
Yeah, so how many plus first round picks do the Rockets have since Rafael took over? Five now?
Well,
six.
You want to count this as four or as eight?
No, it's four. It's four. Just the positioning is going to be,
So probably. Four plus four swaps. They've got a protected one from Detroit. They've still got a protected one from Portland. And they've got a protected one from the Wizards.
So they've traded for seven first-round picks.
First-round picks. Now, they owe two to OKC plus the two swaps.
Right.
So they are up three picks and two swaps total, based on what they've gotten and what they owe.
Net three. Net three swap. This is wild. But so what do you think they're going to be the rest of the season?
I mean, they've got a chance to be in that play-in mix. You know, obviously it's look, is John Wall going to be healthy all season? Well, how is Oladipo going to look? Can he stay healthy? They're not going to be any good defensively. You know, James Harden wasn't the worst defender in the starting lineup. I'll put it to you like that. You know, what do they end up getting for PJ Tucker? Is it just filler and a pick? Is it, you know, do they get back?
Spears, what do you think Tucker's value is?
He's making $8 million, so it's not a hard guy to trade for. I love him.
Yeah. I'd want him on my team for sure.
If you're a contender, you want him.
Yeah.
You get a first rounder for him, right? Protected, maybe first round pick.
A protected pick from a contender. Yeah. I think that would be the hope.
He just makes makes you tougher. He's a great guy in the locker room. He could hit that three. He does the to me, the professionalism he showed last season playing center. Like, I know after games he was in pain, man.
Well, he took a beating. He played the second half of the season with a pinched nerve in his neck and still didn't miss a game.
Just played like he.
There's some teams he'd be great for. He'd be great for Philly. I don't know if Philly. Yeah. I don't know if they can do a deal at this point. He'd be good for Boston.
He just, to me, he's one of the best guys off the court I've been around. Just great, great person. Great in the locker room. Does all the dirty work. Like, he's that extra piece that could, you know, kind of push you over the hump a little bit. He's not going to be a star.
I agree. That's why I think there will be a market.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, to me, like a team like the Celtics, I'd love to see like him there just to give him some more grit. You know, a team like Miami, I don't know. Clippers. I'm not saying I know where he could potentially go.
Yeah.
But. Yeah. Everybody could use a PJ Tucker.
Yeah. Well, guys, it's been a lot of superstar trades in the last 3-4 years, and we've seen an incredible amount of draft capital. I mean, when you think about the Paul George trade, the Anthony Davis trade, Drew Holiday trade, and this trade, I mean,
what does that say about the GMs now?
Man,
they roll it, huh?
I guess, man. You know, this is obviously an owner level decision.
I mean, even the Russell Westbrook trade.
Russell Westbrook trade, right? Obviously, Sean Marks has to put the deal together. But the word came down yesterday afternoon, evening, or I don't even remember. But the word came down: the Nets are willing to do it. This message sort of went through the league: the Nets are willing. They're willing to do it. And do it meant give up all the picks and swaps. Everything they could trade, they do. I was like, okay, well, you know, it was just a matter of whether that was what Houston was willing to do.
Brian and Tim, y'all don't believe there was a method to James Madness yesterday?
For sure.
Absolutely. No, he planned that. He planned on that.
Yeah, if he got that word too, obviously.
That's right. And he walked into the press conference with the intent to say those words. He took
two questions, got out what he wanted to get out, and got the hell out of there.
He kind of stumbled through it. It wasn't the cleanest delivery but he knew exactly what was going on. I will say this: this is why players make trade demands, because not all the time, most of the time they get what they want. Most of the time they do.
And it wasn't pretty. And, you know, look, Harden went from being absolutely beloved in Houston to now I'm sure he gets booed the next time he comes back to the Toyota Center.
Yeah, but like,
you know what? Anthony Davis could get booed in New Orleans and he doesn't care. His ring shines.
He does not care. All right. Thank you guys for coming on. Thank you for listening to the Hoop Collective podcast. Thank you to Christina, who pinch hit for us today, for Troy. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.